relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story. Welcome, dear friends, to a very special edition of The Manhood Hour with someone who has been a supporter of this show for many years and is one of the listeners' and viewers' favorites. A man who has, I've said many times before, if I ever grow up, I would wish to be like this individual, a Renaissance man. There are a rare breed today, a corporate titan, a champion for justice reform, and also basically an author of a library of books, every one of which is worth your time. The latest weighty tome is 1,000 pages of the first volume of the political and strategic history of the world from antiquity to the Caesars 14 Anno Domini. Of course, we are talking to the great Lord Conrad Black. Lord Black, thank you for making my last few months and my weekend, especially preparing for today, so very, very enjoyable.
Sebastian, thank you for the honor of having me on. And I hardly recognize myself from your introduction, but thanks for it anyway.
Well. No need for modesty here. We celebrate manliness and the classic virtues of manhood every week on our Manhood Hour. And it's a perfect way to delve into the book because, as you say in your introduction, the history of the world told properly is at least a very interesting story. And, as always, is an interesting sequence of talented and highly motivated individuals, which you illustrate throughout the book. As such, would you walk us through your theory of history, the great man versus the circumstances creating the great men? Do you fall on either side, or what is your take of how history has illustrated circumstance versus great men?
Well, I'm more on the side of the people, because ultimately people make history. I mean, of course, trends change and there are natural phenomena like earthquakes and accidents like fires that can influence history, but essentially people make history. And it isn't just the great men, it's everybody. But the only way, in my judgment, to make history interesting is to focus on the personalities who chiefly made it. Some of them are extremely admirable, some of them are wicked, but that's not the point. They made the history. And the historian's job is to tell the history. But he has some obligation to be as interesting as he can to the reader, as accessible as he can, while maintaining rigorous accuracy. So I answer to a council of perfection all the way around the compass of reading, but I'm essentially reporting what people have done and the consequences of it.
I want to talk about some of those examples. I don't want to get lost in this hour on, you know, the minutiae of certain periods, but I'll have some questions with regards to the likes of Alexander or Hannibal. But you make on the second page of the book, you make this very interesting observation, which, when you think about it, is kind of obvious, but then you have to unpack it, and it's the following. Readers will also note the greater historic importance of men of action over sages like Plato and Cicero, whose meddling in government was largely ineffectual. Do you have a theory as to why that is? Because, of course, we say Western civilization is built on the ideas of the Platos, the Aristotles, and so forth. But those individuals, never quite translated into an impact on the political environment around them, unless it was through who they were teaching, such as Alexander, with you know, studying from Aristotle. Do you find that demarcation between the great minds of Western civilization and those who get things done to be a foible of history?
No, not exactly. You see, the skills are different, and it is very rare that you not unheard of, but rare, that you get a theoretical and intellectual mind who is thoroughly adept at executive action. Now, it happens sometimes, but not very often. And I only singled out Plato and Cicero because, unlike Aristotle, who saw what he was and conformed to his specialty, his talent of being both a teacher and a creator of interesting perspectives, they actually tried to enter into active politics. I mean, you know, Plato went and sat in Sicily for a year, purportedly instructing the leader of the country how to govern Sicily. And in the end, he was basically thrown out. He had no idea how to influence these people and what kinds of actions would be successful in the unique collective personality of Sicily, which was a very quarrelsome place even then and has not ceased to be so. And in the case of Cicero, he became prominent as a lawyer, and then he got the idea that he was a sort of guru to the statesman, and he believed that he had a benign form of a Mephistophelian influence on Pompey, but Pompey didn't pay any attention to him. And he was completely, how should I put this? He was not exactly swindled, that would be unfair, but he completely misjudged his relationships with Octavian Caesar, who, when they met, Octavian was only 18. And Cicero was a very eminent figure, and he thought he had kind of taken Octavian under his wing and was a mentor, but he wasn't. And Julius Caesar offered Cicero a position in the first triumvirate, to make it a quadrumvirate, with Pompey and Crassus and Caesar. And Cicero didn't do it. So I was only making the point that they had their talents in the areas where they're most famous. But for the most part, when they tried directly to influence history themselves as executives, it didn't work. Cicero's great success was dealing with the conspiracy of Catiline, which he did do. But it wasn't that complicated to do it.
And why another book on world history? I want everybody to be clear. This is an eminently readable. I mean, you do leave out, and you say at the beginning, I'm going to leave out the stuff that really isn't important or is, you know, is relatively boring, and I'm going to tell a rollicking good story of the history, strategically and politically, of the West. Why another one? What was your goal as you sat down to write Volume 1?
I felt that the idea of a grasp, not a grasp of all of the details, of course that would be a life's work, but just a familiarity with the development of political history, how people initially were in clans and tribes and so forth, and then got into larger and larger units, and how they related with each other, how the jurisdictions got on with each other, and what the strategies were. That all of that was, in the minds of those who might be interested in it, something which, to get any grasp of it at all, would require reading dozens of huge books, like some of these behind me here on my left. That's the Cambridge Ancient and Medieval and Modern History. And you don't have, that's 30 volumes of 1,000 words, 1,000 pages each. So, you know, it would take years and years to do it. And my theory was you could put it in a manageable, not a few words, obviously, but a manageable number of pages and divide it clearly so that people could use the index and look at parts of it without having to wander around for what they were trying to find. And you could get it into a manageable length, still make it readable and not superficial. I was trying to walk the tightrope between a readable and reasonably complete book and a book that would simply be a mere chronology with no meat in it, so you could never really, you know, extract interest from it. It would just be like Googling something to get the date of it, you know. So I've tried to steer a middle course there, and it's not for me to sign my own expense account and say how much I succeeded. But when I reread it on edit, I thought it read fairly well, but I'm partial.
Well, you did succeed, especially because, which is unusual with tomes of this subject, you can dip in at any point. You don't have to do chronologically. You exactly. can actually just drill down on one really interesting story and then jump a couple of chapters, and it's just as enjoyable. We're talking to the author.
And you can put it down and take it up.
Right, right. We're talking to the author of The Brand New Political and Strategic History of the World, Volume 1. I'm Sebastian Gorka. If you enjoy The Deep Dive, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on whichever channel you prefer or platform. Plug in my name, Sebastian Gorka. Leave us a 5-star review and share the links with your friends. We will be back with Lord Black in a moment.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Did you know that 84% of New Year's resolutions fail in the first 6 weeks? That's got me thinking about PhD weight loss and nutrition and why it was a success for me. Why I haven't gained 1 pound of my 42-pound weight loss back. Why Jeff, my producer, decided to start the program. Most people blame their failure on a lack of time, motivation, and a loss of zeal. PhD makes it simple. It doesn't take a lot of extra time. They are masters of motivation. You have a team of coaches by your side the whole time, and you don't lose your zeal because every week you make great strides, so you stay excited. Do something different this year and call PhD Weight Loss and Nutrition, 864-644-1900. To get started, or online at myphdweightloss.com. Don't do this alone. The number, 864-644-1900, myphdweightloss.com.
I know Sebastian well. Listen to him. He's with us.
Welcome back, dear friends. Welcome back. Thank you, Mr. President. Last week, I told you the story of Liam from a school in Massachusetts that took umbrage with a T-shirt he wore to school one day, 12 years old, and he was punished. Why? Well, let's listen to Liam himself.
On that spring morning, I wore a shirt that got right to the point. There are only two genders. My principal pulled me out of class. I was told that people were complaining about the words on my shirt. It was enough to silence my speech. I was told that I would need to change my shirt before I could return to class. Rather than respecting my right to free speech, officials chose to censor me. That's why, with the help of Alliance Defending Freedom and the Massachusetts Family Institute, we filed a lawsuit calling on the court to hold my school accountable for violating my constitutional freedoms.
It's not just about a T-shirt. It's about freedom of speech and freedom of conscience. God bless the Family Institute of Massachusetts and the Alliance Defending Freedom, which is representing Liam to to the highest court in the land. This is why the work of ADF is so important. They don't charge their clients a penny, but they fight for all of our constitutional rights. Please support ADF today so people like Liam have representation, whether it's Jack the Cake Baker or whether it's a 12-year-old boy in Massachusetts being punished for just telling the truth every day in school. Please go to my website, sebgorka.com, and click on the ADF banner or call in your tax-deductible donation to 855-374-4767. When you need help, they are there, and they're fighting for all of our liberties. 855-374-4767, or just go to S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A, sebgorka.com, and the Alliance Defending Freedom banner. Lord Black, the first substantive chapter of the book has to do with the people of Israel. What is so special and different about that community? Is it just the monotheism? I found it so enjoyable that I'm reading the chapter that we realize there's so much influence even from, you know, the sources of the word Hebrew, the sources of the word Semite go back to the Old Testament and actually have such an influence through the millennia. But why start there, and why are they so influential?
Well, they were a large group at that time. And they were unique because they were monotheists. And they, of course, they have been very prominent, as you say, in the development of our entire, as it's generally regarded, Judeo-Christian civilization. And most of the initial Christians were, in fact, Jews. And the reason the Jews went from being a relatively large people to a relatively small one was because most of them became Christians. Now, obviously, they were subjected to some terrible oppression at times, but the principal reason is the one I just said. But they have had a huge impact on the notion that has always been in the minds of people, as I discovered in my research in ancient Mesopotamia. People have always been preoccupied with the possibilities of a supernatural intelligence, of supernatural intervention in the world, and of some form of a deity that could be propitiated. And the Jews were unique in that they, I don't mean to be repetitive, but they didn't have a plethora of gods for functions. They had this concept of a universal God, and with it came the special place of human life, and that is really the wellspring of our widespread and admirable Western view, civilizing view, that life is important or sacred, and that all lives, not to be crassly contemporary, all lives matter.
When you're writing a history that goes back so far in time, we think of, you know, the proto-historians, we think of the likes of Plutarch, we think of Livy and Thucydides, but they kind of set the stage for what being a historian is. You don't have the sources at your disposal that you would if you were writing a history of the Second World War or, you know, the Florentine city-state. So outside of, you know, Plutarch, Livy, Thucydides, and the influence, of course, of the Bible itself and the Old Testament, how much of a challenge is it to write an all-encompassing history of civilization? What did you draw upon when you're in the pre-modern age?
Well, I, as you say, I certainly don't have the capacity to learn those languages and inspect the texts such as they are. I mean, can you imagine the task that would await someone trying to learn hieroglyphics and ancient Sanskrit and so on? But I mean, some people do it, but I wasn't one of them. But you know, Napoleon's famous phrase, history is lies agreed upon. Well, I tried to get as far back as I could while it was still reliable history, facts agreed upon. And where there was a doubt, and it was important I mentioned that there was a question about this, I'm not advocating a school of anything. I'm just trying to gather the relevant facts and put them in the right sequence.
Amongst the proto-historians, was there one that impressed you more than the others? Because many say Thucydides is the man that invented the concept of being a historian.
He was impressive. Livy impressed me. Polybius impressed me. Herodotus was too much given to myth-making, but still valuable. Plutarch really took from those others. He came after them, you know. But he was a good interpreter. In most cases, he sifted out well, better than I could, certainly, between the different accounts of things, which was more reliable. Now, he had his own hang-ups. You know, he had some funny ideas about Julius Caesar being insane and nonsense like that, but fundamentally a good historian. May I mention one thing that almost all your viewers would be familiar with? The famous speech at the funeral of Julius Caesar.
Yes.
I had assumed that Shakespeare basically made this up. I mean, it was one of the greatest speeches in history, I thought, if it were given.
Yeah, I come to bury him, not to praise him.
Yeah, that's it. And of course, Brutus is an honorable man. But 5 minutes later, he had the crowd screaming assassins and murderers,
right,
and chased them from the forum. But the fact is, Shakespeare got it from Plutarch, and Plutarch got it from Cicero,
yeah,
who was present. And Mark Antony actually said that. Almost verbatim.
Just reinforcing how incredibly sui generis and utterly unique Shakespeare was. We're talking to the author of the brand new book, The Political and Strategic History of the World, Volume 1, Lord Conrad Black. The website is conradmblack.com. Co-host of the podcast Scholars and Sense with Victor Davis Hanson and Bill Bennett. Follow him on Twitter at Conrad M. Black. And don't forget to give us a follow as well. We're on all the important social media platforms. Just look for Seb Gorka or Sebastian Gorka on Truth Social, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Parler, Getter. You can watch us on your Roku, your Fire Stick device, or just get the Salem News Channel app. And for unique content by me and direct access to me, go to my Substack, sebastiangorka.substack.com. That's sebastiangorka.substack.com. We'll be back with examples of classic masculinity here on America First in the Manhood Hour. Mike Lindell has a passion to help you get the best sleep of your life. After he invented the world's best pillow, he created the famous Giza Dream Sheets. They are the best sheets you will ever sleep on. For a limited time, you'll get a queen-size set for $59.98, king-size for $69.98, the lowest prices in history. Mike and the My Pillow Company continue to be canceled by big box stores and attacked by the media. They appreciate all of your great support during these times and want to thank you by giving you the best specials on all their products. To get those specials, go to MyPillow.com or call 800-829-8468, promo code G-O-R-K-A. You get the famous Giza Dream Sheets, queen size $59.98 and king size for $69.98. You'll also get 60% off the original My Slippers. So call 800-829-8468 or go to MyPillow.com. Promo code G-O-R-K-A.
America First. Magnificent.
If you enjoy the Manhood Hour on America First, support those who make it possible. Great patriots like Mike Lindell. The left detests him. They want to cancel him for good. Please support this man who's making American products here in America for you. Not just the MyPillow, of which he has sold 81 million. Yes, they are that good. But he has a whole plethora of more than 200 items on his website. Please check them out today. Use my name for up to 66% off and free shipping because you are listening to America First. Call in to a real person. Don't buy that Chinese tat on Amazon. The number is 800-829-8468, mypillow.com. That's 800-829-8468, mypillow.com, promo code G-O-R-K-A. And if 15 hours of radio with me every week is simply not enough. And if you're looking for something incredibly fun to do this July 4th weekend, join us for our Patriots Alaska cruise. Especially, I'm talking to those who missed our trip to Israel a year ago when we took 350 of our dearest listeners to the Holy Land. Join us for a trip a little bit closer to home in the most beautiful state of the Union, June 29th to July 6th. Check out the amazing itinerary. Book your cabin today. 240 already gone. Go right now to sebgorka.com. Check out the itinerary and reserve your cabin today. That's S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A and the Patriots Alaska Cruise banner. SebGorka.com and the Patriots Alaska Cruise banner. Lord Black, I want everybody to buy the book and to read it, to use it as a teaching text. But I want you to answer one burning question when it comes to the history of Western civilization. How best is it that we understand the dual influence, the syncretic influence of ancient Greece and Rome? The oversimplification is representative government and the concept of the rights of the individual, and then the Romans come along and create this legal system on the foundations of what the Greeks gave us. That is a gross oversimplification. So how does Lord Black look at the building blocks that are Greece, ancient Greece, and the building blocks that are ancient Rome?
The conventional wisdom you summarized is partly true. And of course, it's been contorted a bit, especially by 19th century British historians,
yeah,
who fancied that Britain was like ancient Greece, and this was transported, for example, even into the even into the 20th century, when the British Prime Minister Harold Macmillan claimed that Britain was to the U.S. as Greece was to Rome, which was complete rubbish, of course. But Greece did make the very important step that you mentioned in a few of its cities. Not all of them. Many of them were not democratic at all, but Athens was, and several of the others were. And they developed this concept of rights, that actually the people have rights, and whoever is governing has to pay some attention to that. And it broadened out from there. Where Greece was really disappointing was they could never get past the scale of a nation state. And even when Athens, after its heroic performance in the Persian Wars, where it really sacrificed itself to save Greece, and the Greeks recognized that, Athens set up the Athenian Confederation and mismanaged it and treated all of the Confederate states as if they were essentially satellites and colonies of Athens, and the whole thing collapsed. And when Philip and Alexander of Macedonia arrived, they still found this little area squabbling, all these little states squabbling with each other. Now, Rome developed on its own, without imitating Greece, a form of democracy. It always had, from early days, a form of popular consultation, but it didn't have the philosophers of rights that the Greeks had. But it had by the standards of those ancient times, we're talking about 500 BC, 400 BC, Rome had a relatively, it was a very small place, but had a relatively, let's say, a system that was relatively humane, relatively. Yeah. And it did, as you say, develop the concept of the law, but it also developed the concept of how to expand and gradually absorbed others in Italy and then around the Mediterranean. And in every case, it lowered taxes and increased public security. And it took the most talented of the people in those places and raised them up, and in many cases put them into the Roman Senate. So it was a form of expansion of government without simply being ancient conquest,
right,
plundering, and oppression, which is how things were with the Assyrians.
And the idea that you're actually integrating those new populaces, they're not just vassals, or they're not just, you know, becoming slave nations or members of an empire to be exploited. The book is the political and strategic...
And also, even if they became slaves, it wasn't the kind of slavery that was based on race and deemed to be a disparagement. And they always, or almost always, had a way to get their way out of slavery.
We're talking of The Political and Strategic History of the World, Volume 1, by our guest, Lord Conrad Black. How good a night's sleep did you get last night? Did you wake up refreshed? Did you take something to aid your sleep that left you drowsy in the morning? Well, I feel just fine, and I had a great night's sleep. Why? Because I took Relief Factor Sleep. Find out for yourself how this incredible product, natural product, can give you a great night's sleep. And also, in the morning, you don't feel drowsy. 1-800-4-RELIEF, relieffactor.com/sleep. That's 1-800-473-5433, relieffactor.com/sleep. Our God-given freedoms are facing unrelenting attacks. It's a battle for truth, and the only way we win is if we stand together. Thankfully, the Alliance Defending Freedom has been defending our rights for 30 years and winning. Right now, they're involved in two critical cases before the Supreme Court. They're suing the FDA for endangering the health and safety of women and girls, and in the second case, they're assisting the state of Idaho to defend its law protecting the lives of women and their unborn children against the Biden administration's attempt to override the law and force doctors to perform abortions. And they need your help. With your best gift, you courageously join ADF in fighting critical Supreme Court cases against government lawlessness and help defend our cherished freedoms. Call 855-374-4767 right now, or go to sebgorka.com and click on the ADF banner. With your help, I've pledged to raise $35,000 by March 31st for ADF. Go to sebgorka.com or call 855-374-4767 to make your best gift right now. I know with your help, we can beat that goal and help make a generational difference for freedom.
No violence, no hate speech, just happy warriors on America First.
And this one is an exceptionally happy warrior. Why? Because of the good offices of Dr. Ashley Lucas and her amazing team at My PhD Weight Loss. I don't know if you've been struggling with a little bit of excess luggage. I can relate. For more than 20 years, I tried to lose weight and then I'd gain it back on until I tried this program that helped me lose 42 pounds in a matter of months. No scary injections, no stupid pills to pop, just a system that let me eat five times a day and burnt the fat. My muse, Katie, lost 36 pounds. She's ecstatic. When your wife has to buy a whole new wardrobe because everything is too large, well, you know what they say, happy wife, happy life. Now, my colleague Dennis Prager is on the program, as is our producer, Jeff. Find out for yourself. See the before and after pictures at myphdweightloss.com. My photograph will shock you. Call up her amazing team at 864-644-1900. That's myphdweightloss.com, 864-644-1900. Now, I don't want to be maudlin. I don't want to fall into the trap of unjustified nostalgia. But I read your book, Lord Black, and when you go back in time and you look at the incredible, the real leaders, not mythical individuals, but the likes of, you know, the Carthaginian general Hannibal, or you think of Alexander the Great, who basically had an empire spanning from India to Greece, settled 20 cities, one of the greatest named after him. And you scratch your head and you say, where are the likes of these men today? Am I wrong to ask that question? Should we think of the Pattons and the Churchills as equivalent? Or has something in manhood changed as soon as we got into the Westphalian nation state system?
No, I think we still have great leaders. I think Churchill and Roosevelt are people that their skills were different, and obviously the institutions that they led were not ones that lent themselves to the same level of autocratic government as Alexander enjoyed as a king. But I think they were people of equivalent intelligence and and courage and flamboyance, you know, panache.
Yeah.
Look, it took an astonishing achievement for Roosevelt to overcome his illness, confined to a wheelchair at a time when it would have been electorally fatal if the country had known that, and had four terms as president and led the country out of depression and through the World War. And General de Gaulle was a great figure of classic
proportions. Yes.
And there have been some. And on the evil side, you know, the bad people, to give them their due, I mean, they were terrible, but they were formidable. I think of Mao Zedong and Stalin and even Hitler.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely right. If you think of, I think Attila the Hun and Mao, they're matches for each other in their destruction that they
Mao was better educated.
Let me ask you, I don't think it's a predictive question, but given the scope of what you've done, and Volume 2 will be with us imminently, you map very adroitly the shape of human society over the millennia, from tribe and clan to then proto-empires, then to the city-states, and then after the 17th century, the modern nation-state. Do you feel that final construct is where we will stay? Or is the World Economic Forum, the EU, the globalizers, are they trying to posit something beyond the Westphalian system? Or have we found the best way to build human society?
I think that the Davos people have prematurely tried to homogenize everybody, and it's obviously not working, and there's a backlash against it. And I speak as someone who attended at Davos for 20 years because I succeeded the late Bob Maxwell as the head of the media group. And it was useful for me when I was in that business. You meet analogs from other countries and could talk shop, you know. But that was when the Cold War was still going on, and they hadn't taken the plunge into this theory that they had the key to all the rest of the future. You know, the sort of Fukuyama view. History's ended, this is it, and we're running things down. And but I think what you will get is a gradually more civilized and accepting relationship between the national states, most of which are culturally based or tribally based, and so there is a rationale to their borders. But I think the I think the ancient proclivity of these groups to make war on each other all the time is steadily declining because of advanced recognition of how counterproductive it is, and also because of the deterrent force of our now terribly destructive armaments. So, Sebastian, you cannot look at the world today and look at it in the early chapters of that book you've held up and not believe that there has been real progress,
right?
Not in human nature, but in human perceptions and grasp of human experience. There has been great progress, and there's no reason to doubt that it will continue. But it never continues in a straight line.
No, and you've written histories on America and the strategic evolution of America. Are the comparisons to an empire in decline, the Gibbons thesis, with America today, are they overblown?
Yes, they're not true. In my opinion, the Rome that fell was a Rome that was decadent.
Yeah.
It was a Rome that had yielded all of the frontiers and the protection of the frontiers to barbarians who were being pushed westward by fiercer barbarians, and they weren't reliable. And when the pressure really came, it all collapsed. I disagree with Gibbon, by the way, who blames some of the fact of the fall of the Western Roman Empire on Christianity. If the Romans had jumped onto the Christian bandwagon earlier, they would have defended their empire more successfully, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
But the United States isn't a decadent country. It's at a plateau. I do not believe it's in decline. The later Roman Empire, nobody had any loyalty to the central government. The government had moved to Constantinople, and the emperors were essentially soldiers who who then, at the death of each emperor, usually violent deaths, would then have a minor civil war between themselves to see who the next emperor was. I mean, the United States isn't functioning like that. It's not functioning as well as it could and should, but it's not like that.
We're talking to the author of the brand new tome, The Political and Strategic History of the World, Volume 1, From Antiquity to the Caesars, 14 Anno Domini. Get it today. I promise you will not regret it. And follow our friend at ConradMBlack.com. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is The Man Who Dao, coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios, just outside the insalubrious, fetid, rank, malodorous, noisome, ghastly swamp that is Washington, D.C. Relief Factor. It works. It's real. It's liberating over a million Americans right now from their daily pain. I just happen to be one of them. But it's not just me. It's people like Debron from Massachusetts. This is Debron's story. I just started taking Relief Factor 4 days ago. My hip pain is gone. I had a horrible time sleeping because of the pain. I love how I'm feeling now. Thank you, Relief Factor. That should be your story. Find out today. Order the 3-week quick starter pack at ReliefFactor.com. Ask yourself one question. What do you have to lose? If the only answer is the pain, then write the number down. 1-800, the number for relief, relieffactor.com. That's 1-800-473-5433. Relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com.
The antidote to fake news. America first.
This is the Manhood Hour, and he is definitely an alpha male, my former boss, President Trump. If you want prosperity back, if you want security, if you want a national border, then fly the flag that tells you, tells everyone whose side you are on. It's the I Stand With 45 Trump 2024. Get yours today at SebGorkaStore.com. And the latest T-shirt, which is just a statement of fact, Donald Trump did nothing wrong. Get yours at SEBGORKA, SebGorkaStore.com, where you can get all of our America First gear and all of my books. But most important of all, please support the president directly at DonaldJTrump.com. That's DonaldJTrump.com. You mentioned a word, Lord Black, about panache. A word you just do not hear today. President Trump definitely has his own version of panache. Where is the style in politics? I mean, the Margaret Thatchers, the Gaulle. Wow. What has happened to the idea of having a little bit of style in your statecraft?
Well, I think we had very strong leaders at the end of the Cold War, including a dear friend of mine who all the flagstaffs in this country are half staffed for this week, Brian Mulroney. He and Helmut Kohl in Germany and Mitterrand up to a point in France, certainly Margaret Thatcher, the Pope, and President Reagan, they all had panache.
Yeah.
And they won, you know, they won a bloodless victory and a great victory and without triumphalism. They weren't ungracious to the Russians. And then I think we, as a civilization, we didn't have threat and we all became a bit complacent and the quality of our leadership declined. But not permanently.
Soft times.
And I think Trump is an example of that. Even his enemies admit he's a very strong, formidable man.
Let me just end with the last two sentences in the book so we could tee up volume two. The pinnacle of the power of the Caesars quietly passed. Centuries of Rome's preeminence awaited. And the tortured but miraculous dawn of the Christian era was at hand. Rome would unite Western man's secular and ecclesiastical destinies with unforeseeable durability. Rome's gods were fading, and a messiah was already perceptible to a few in Israel. For a moment, man was alone, and the ancient world was still, but about to enter upon its most storied years and earth-shattering events. If that doesn't make you want read more, then I don't know what will. Start with Volume 1. It is The Political and Strategic History of the World from Antiquity to the Caesars, 14 AD. I'm ready for Volume 2, by the way. In the meantime, listen to our friend, co-host of the Scholars and Sense podcast with Victor Davis Hanson and Bill Bennett. His website is Conrad M. Black. Follow him on Twitter at Conrad M. Black. I'm Sebastian Gorka. You've been listening to The Manhood Hour. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, keep your head on a swivel. Watch your six. Hold the line. Never give up. Never give in. and stay frosty.
Upon this continent, a new nation conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
Not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you, the rest of the world hears you, and the people... And the people who knock these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
And we will make America great again.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
Like I was living in a dream for the longest time, because when you come from a country that's, you know, a communist country, your life is so small that your ability to dream is like, I just wish I had bread, or I wish that I have milk, or oh my God, I can't believe that we have meat. Like your wish is so small, or your dreams are so small. Not in the sense that people in first world countries look at dreams. Yeah. No, your dream is just like, you can't even, like, I had a banana one day and I was like, oh my God, I didn't even know this food existed. Like, I didn't know a banana was a food. Like, I didn't, like, that's a weird thing to say that, like, no, I didn't have dreams. I just kind of had, like, happy moments. But the smallest of circumstances would make me happy. Then you come to this country, and the whole country is just dreams. You can't, like, people that don't, that aren't from America, that don't grow up in a less advanced country, will never appreciate America as much as an immigrant will. Ever, ever, ever. And I stand by that. Because there's nothing like this country. It is all about dreams. There's nothing that you can't fathom doing here. Nothing. It's you can, lots of things are wrong. Every country's got something wrong with it. But there's nothing like this one where you can dream.
There's nothing like this country. That's a voice from Hollywood. That's Mila Kunis, who was born in the Soviet Union. Shocking. Is she going to be allowed to actually act in Hollywood again? Listen to what that young girl said. You have no idea. If you were born here, you have no idea what America is. The idea that you're sitting in the Soviet Union and somehow you get hold of a banana, and that's a big deal. My mother used to tell this story about how during the war, her sister and herself were given an orange for Christmas. That was their gift. How can somebody living in... What is the biggest problem you have today? The Wi-Fi signal is not strong enough in the Starbucks, right? That's going to be your big problem. I know she's a Democrat, but God bless Mila Kunis. Hope you had a wonderful weekend. Welcome, dear friends. This is America First. We have an amazing show for you today. We're going to have Lord Conrad Black, not just for a couple of segments to talk politics and President Trump and Biden. We're going to have him for the whole third hour to talk about his brand new book, The Political and Strategic History of the World, Volume 1, From Antiquity to the Caesars, 14 Anno Domini. You do not want to miss it. If you're in a market that doesn't have the third hour, move. But until then, make sure you are subscribed to the podcast, whichever platform you prefer. Just plug in my name, Sebastian Gorka, America First. Never miss an episode. Leave us a 5-star review and share the links with your friends. Okay. What a couple of days it's been. What a weekend it's been. Joe Biden, in his rant of the union, who came up with this Rob Schmitz team on Newsmax, I'm so jealous, they called it the hate of the union. Yeah, not the state, the hate of the union, which is right. A senile old man ranting, doped up with something, you know, speed or LSD, and then ranting at us for an hour. And then he was forced by the heckling of Marjorie Taylor Greene to mention the name of Laken Riley. He called her Lincoln twice, because why would you know the name of the most famous murderer in the last, what, month in America? Why would you know the name of that 22-year-old girl whose head was stoved in by an illegal immigrant that you let into the country, Joe Biden, paroled into the country? Why would you know her name? Anyway, he got it wrong, but then he talked about the illegal who murdered her. Oh, you can't say that. So what have we witnessed all over the weekend and with statements from the White House? The White House this morning, apologies. Apologies for what? Not for letting in an illegal that murdered that beautiful young girl, but apologies for vocabulary. Cut nine.
During your response to her heckling of you, you used the word illegal when talking about the man who allegedly killed Laken Riley.
An undocumented person. And I shouldn't have used illegal. It's undocumented. And look, when I spoke about the difference between Trump and me, one of the things I talked about on the border was that the way he talks about vermin, the way he talks about these people polluting the blood. I talked about what I'm not going to do, what I won't do. I'm not going to treat any of these people with disrespect. Look, they built the country. The reason our economy is growing. We have to control the border and more orderly flow, but I don't share his view at all.
So you regret using that word?
Yes.
We have to respect these people? What? We have to respect murderers? Why do we have to respect murderers? And we have to have a more orderly flow? Did you catch that? We don't have to secure the border. We're not going to stop the flow. We need a more orderly flow. And these people built America? What, murderers? People who murder young girls built America? He doesn't give a damn. I mean, really, I mean, do you need any more evidence? They just don't care. At the same time that he was apologizing on cable TV for calling a murderer an illegal and saying that they built our country. No, they didn't. Murdering illegals did not build our country. What was President Trump doing? Well, he went to Georgia. It was an incredible rally. And before he held the rally, he actually met with Laken Riley's mother and father. He met with her friends, with her dorm mate in college. He spoke, physically met with and spoke with the grieving family and friends of Laken Riley. A family who hasn't even received a phone call from the man responsible for her death, the man who opened the borders, Joe Biden. And here's President Trump sharing that story. Cut 18.
No remorse. He's got no regret. He's got no empathy, no compassion. And worst of all, he has no intention of stopping the deadly invasion that stole precious Laken's beautiful American life. We are profoundly honored to be joined today by the family and loved ones of Laken and some of her great friends. I met them. They're so incredible. The whole group is incredible. To Laken's parents, John and Allison, and her sister, Lauren, her roommate, Connolly, and to all of those who loved Laken, the hearts of hundreds of thousands and indeed millions and millions of Americans and people worldwide, they're shattered alongside of your beautiful hearts. We share your grief. We share your grief. Thank you, darling. Thank you. Thank you very much. We appreciate it. I know how tough it is. It's so tough. We vow to keep Laken's memory alive for as long as we are here on this earth, and we take comfort that she is now home with God in heaven. And I want to thank you, and thank you for being here. Incredible. I know how tough it is.
And Laken's mother spoke out on a Facebook post quote, "Biden does not even know my child's name. It's pathetic." That was on Friday. Allison Phillips continued to say, "If you're going to say her name, even when you're forced to do so, at least say the right name." And under a comment on her Facebook post, which said, "Biden is a disgrace of a president," Laken Riley's mother added the words, "Amen." I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. If 15 hours with me a week isn't enough, if you're free on July 4th weekend, join us for the trip of a lifetime. We are having our Patriots Alaska cruise, especially talking to you who missed our trip to Israel a year ago. Book your tickets today, June 29th to July 6th. More than 140 cabins are gone. Register today, sebgorka.com. That's S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A. Check out the amazing itinerary. Join us with hundreds of Americans that love America as much as you do. S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A, sebgorka.com, and the Patriots Alaska Cruise banner.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.